Hi again, everyone, and thank you for downloading slash streaming the Bedrock Learning Literacy Works podcast, where we're trying to bring you the very best interesting voices from around the world of education. Today, we have two colleagues from a school, a Bedrock school, who I've met since coming to work at Bedrock, and it's just astounding what they've achieved with MAPPA and what they've achieved within their partnership with us. And I think as well as having people outside Bedrock, which is really important, it's also really important to speak to Bedrock partner schools and ask them what they're finding, ask them their learnings and share the kind of best practice and insights. So both of you, thank you so much for coming on. It's brilliant. I know for a fact that there's lots of schools who have asked for this podcast to happen. They want to hear about what the best schools are doing, what the most effective schools are doing. So if you wouldn't mind, both of you, just introducing yourselves and a bit about the school, that would be really helpful just to kick us off.
So I'm Sarah. I'm one of the associate assistant heads here in St Thomas More and Stoke-on-Trent. And our school is in an area of high deprivation. Mm-hmm. And we've got an increasing number of pupil premium students. So typically we have around a third of our students who are pupil premium. But for our current year seven, that's risen to 45%. So it's a dramatic increase. So it became apparent to us that in an area of word poverty, particularly post the pandemic, that we needed to do something to support students. Really, when we've got students with reading ages in every single year group that range from 5 years to 17 years. So we've got such a disparity with our reading ages. And for us, and obviously all of the evidence, all of the research indicates that the language gap is the attainment gap. So we had a secure success rate with Bedrock as a program in which we actually dedicate curriculum time for students in year seven and year eight to work with Bedrock. And we'd moved from other programs and we were really happy with the success that students were making with Bedrock. So therefore, when we looked at MAPPA, it was really appealing to us, the idea of disciplinary literacy and supporting students to enable them to access more challenging texts. So initially, we looked at MAPPA. And what we liked about MAPPA was that it was very much an evidence-informed programme, and that was in line with our school vision for literacy. So Megan is our Key Stage 3 lead for RE, and we initially piloted MAPPA with just Year 7 across our core subjects. We're a Catholic school, so RE is one of our core subjects. And so Megan and I have been involved in the pilot, and we were so successful with the pilot that we've actually extended MAPPA from initially year seven in the core subjects to all subjects for all of Key Stage 3 students.
And Megan, when you first heard of MAPPA and when it was kind of broached to you, what were your thoughts and how did you take to that? What's been your experience of this?
I think from my perspective, I was really quite excited to roll this out across the department for RE specifically. RE, one of our strengths in our department is consistency in terms of, you know, our planning, our implementation and delivery of the curriculum. But the way that we approached homework, we thought could have been strengthened. And I was quite excited that the prospect of MAPPA being used in that way. So initially when we implemented MAPPA, as Sarah said, we did just do it across the core subjects. And luckily for me, with being a Catholic school, RE was one of those. So we initially implemented on a fortnightly basis. So the homework ran alongside the curriculum, really. So the keywords that we were picking out from MAPPA really underpin and support the curriculum that's already in place. And as Sarah was saying, we have seen such amazing success rates. You know, we've got an 88% retainment rate at the moment with our current cohorts, which I think is something that we're really proud of. And, you know, it would be lovely for us to use this opportunity to promote that in other schools as well.
And if I was to take a step back for a moment for the benefit of listeners, how has Bedrock implemented throughout the entire school? So what's the relationship with core and grammar and MAPPA? When do they do what? You know, because lots of schools find that They love core. They love core and grammar, for example, you know, vocabulary and grammar. They love it. But then they say, well, if we were to introduce Mapper, that's another thing for the pupils to perhaps do for homework. So, and then you've got the teachers using insights from vocab and grammar and then Mapper. How do you make sense of all of that for your staff? Because for lots of schools, that's a big that's a big thing they have to, you know, a big hurdle they have to jump over. So how do you implement in your school?
So for us, Mapper Core is part of our curriculum time. So students have Bedrock Core, sorry, is part of our curriculum time. Yep. So students have a weekly Bedrock lesson, which alternates between vocabulary and grammar. And then They also have a weekly Bedrock homework for Bedrock Core. And that's just in year 7 and 8. Mm-hmm. And students are very engaged with that. They're familiar with Bedrock as a platform. Mm-hmm. And that's very successful. That's the homework that we set is for literacy. Mm-hmm. So then when we introduced Mapper, actually it was beneficial that the students were already familiar with Bedrock, because obviously the usernames are the same, the passwords are the same, students are familiar with the platform. So it wasn't the case that we're introducing a new platform for the students. Actually, they quite liked it. They were already familiar with Bedrock. Sure. And I think for what we've noticed really is an emphasis on the fact that students aren't seeing literacy now in isolation. It's not that it just belongs to the English department anymore. It's not just an English homework or part of the English curriculum. Mapper has really helped students and staff to really appreciate the fact that disciplinary literacy is important for every subject and every discipline. And I think Mapper for us has helped students to be aware of that and to be aware of the demands of different subjects, rather than seeing vocabulary as just an English requirement.
That's really interesting. There's a common thread that I often find when we speak to schools, and I've found myself saying this now, is that it's not just about what the pupils do, but it's also about, and I wonder if you could speak to this, Meg, and I wonder if, you know, if you're implementing, is it facilitating, or has it facilitated better and more interesting conversations for staff to have around, well, yeah, we've got hundreds of words we could serve to pupils, and anyone could click a button and serve hundreds of words, but what sort of conversations has it facilitated in your department?
I think within our department, it's helped us to facilitate conversations about which keywords and which areas of disciplinary literacy we really want to hone in on. I think it's allowed us as a whole school to assess how consistent departments are across the school. So I think disciplinary literacy is a real strength in some departments, but not others. So it's allowed us to really tackle that and challenge that, which I think gives, you know, the students a better insight into the demands of disciplinary literacy and why it's important. It's also allowed us to have a little bit more of a holistic view of our curriculum and really working out why in year 7 do they need to know X, Y, and Z words in preparation for the year 8 curriculum and all the way through into key stage 5. And I think that that's been really important, especially if within your department you haven't got subject specialists, for example. I think it's been brilliant for, you know, supporting staff and ECTs and trainee staff in understanding the demands of the curriculum and how the literacy links. So I think in terms of, you know, CPD, it's been brilliant for helping staff as well. I think in terms of the planning, it's asked us, it's allowed us to ask questions of our planning as well. So in RE, that's something that we do collaboratively. And we've had discussions about how we want this literacy to be embedded and, you know, within our taught curriculum as well as with Mapper. So it's allowed us to, you know, fine tune and really tie up those loose ends where, you know, we knew that we were strong in terms of, you know, collaborative planning and consistency, but it's allowed us to really tighten up the areas that I think we were perhaps lacking before.
I think as well, just to add to that, departments had highlighted key words previously, but this has provided us with an opportunity now to look at, to quality assure those key words and to ensure that departments are identifying ambitious tier 2 and tier 3 vocabulary, not just keywords that they've picked as they're going along. Yes. and also to make sure that that vocabulary acquisition is aligned with the curriculum development, and there's opportunities for students to retrieve vocabulary. Yes. So for us, the approach that we've taken is that the vocabulary has to be taught within lessons. We've got explicit vocabulary instruction within lessons, and then we use MAPA as a homework for the independent retrieval of that vocabulary. So for us, it's sort of ensuring that students are having lots of opportunities to constantly retrieve that vocabulary that's explicitly taught in class. And I think for staff, it's enabling staff of all subjects to appreciate the literacy demands of their subject areas.
I think it's interesting that there's a when it, if we were to focus on the pupils just for a moment, have you noticed any shifts? Have you noticed any of this manifesting in class? You know, in terms of what have you seen different in the pupils, do you think?
Particularly post the pandemic, we have noticed in our students a decline in their ability to have structured conversations. It was an issue for our school, yeah. I would say.
And articulation of learning as well, I think.
Yeah, that's key.
Definitely.
Yeah, that's key.
And we are now finding that when we're completing learning walks or as part of our MER process, more formal lesson observations, students are able to articulate what they are learning. They are using the Tier 2 and Tier 3 vocabulary in their conversations, and therefore that's then improving their writing, because obviously writing floats on a sea of talk. So the fact that students can use the words in conversation with their talk partners, they're then using that in their writing. And we have noticed a development not only in students' oracy, in students' ability to read complex texts, but also in their writing as well.
And I think as well, what's really key for our school context is that, you know, we've looked at the data around MAPA and the impact that it's had so far in the 18 months that we've got it rolled out. And what's really interesting is that within our school context, our priority groups are the ones that are benefiting the most. So we're seeing that, you know, 60% of our most engaged students are the PP students, and that's a real priority for us. Yeah. The next subgroup after that, 40% of the most engaged are EAL students too. So we're seeing that it's having a real benefit in terms of our, you know, school priorities for those subgroups of students, which is a real positive for us.
And it's opened the dialogue with parents as well. Parents are having conversations with us regarding MAPA disciplinary literacy, which we're using MAPA for example, in our curriculum assessments. So we've adapted our Key Stage 3 curriculum assessments to include a section on vocabulary retrieval. So students are using MAPA now to prepare for those assessments.
That's really
so parents
good.
Are having that conversation yes. regarding how vocabulary can support students' attainment.
The EAL thread's a really interesting one, because as part of my role, one of my favourite bits of my job is to receive data from schools, and then I triangulate against, well, how much have they used it? What's the impact been? And in my previous school where I've worked, EAL wasn't a particularly high number. But since doing this triangulation piece for a number of schools now, particularly with MAPA, the difference it makes in terms of their attainment and their reading ages is, I would say, in my time of doing this role, is almost the biggest jump, the EAL. And I suppose it stands to reason, doesn't it, is that if you have a teacher and you've got a group of teachers that are choosing the highest, leveraging the highest, most powerful concepts in their subjects that they are then teaching them and doing something with, I suppose it stands to reason, doesn't it, that they're going to benefit the most, because those items of knowledge, those words are the silver bullets, aren't they? They're the things that are going to help them access the curriculum more. And I think that's a really interesting point you make there. And if we were to focus now on teachers, even yourselves as well, you know, how have you used MAPA in your planning? What does it look like for you? We've got a really clear implementation, context from yourselves. But what does it look like for a teacher day in, day out? How are you using that?
So To start with, we were really keen to ensure a consistent approach across the whole school. So within each department, we've got a map of leads. And our map of leads, so it may not necessarily be the head of department, but in Megan's case, it's our Key Stage 3 lead, but we've got a member of staff who's responsible for mapping in that subject area. And they've identified the disciplinary literacy for the subject area and uploaded that vocabulary map onto mapping. So then every student has access to that high quality, ambitious vocabulary. Mm-hmm. For our SEND students and our EAL students, our SEND department pre-teach that vocabulary using MAPI. So those students already are exposed to that vocabulary before it's explicitly taught within lessons.
Wow. Okay.
So they have that. We're already trying to address that the language barrier there in enabling our SEND students and our EAL students. So they come to the lesson, the SEND students and the EAL students, with already secure understanding of foundation of that disciplinary literacy. Within our schemes of learning, class teachers then are using a range of models just to explicitly teach that vocabulary. So whether it be the Freya model, or etymology or morphology examples, but it's very much in line with our schemes of learning, and which links directly to MAPI. So then the students within lessons will be explicitly taught that vocabulary, and then every blue week, because we're on a 2-week timetable, students will retrieve that then for their homework independently. And I'm in charge of MAPI centrally, so I will provide staff with updates regarding students' engagement with MAPI. We have had, we've run competitions across the school where our most engaged Year 7 student won a Kindle. We're looking at interform competitions amongst the departments. But also, it's enabling us to quality assure our curriculum. So, for example, we saw that students were making the most progress in Year 8. But actually, for us, we're using MAPI to retrieve. So students shouldn't be making more progress. It should be retrieval. So we went back to our Year 8 curriculum to ensure that we've got that explicit vocabulary instruction within lessons. And it was an area of concern for us, Year 8 in particular. So it's been part of our quality assurance of our curriculum as well.
I certainly think a staged approach, though, has been the thing that's allowed us to be so successful. I think having initially, only 4 members of staff and 5 with Sarah leading has allowed us to become experts in MAPI and help to disseminate that across the school as well. And I think it gave us time to assess the impact before we rolled it out whole school. And I think that was very much appreciated by staff across the school as well, that, this wasn't just another thing for us to ask them to do. So I think that a very much a slow and staged approach with, as Sarah said before, one person per department leading on it has allowed for the consistency to be, really well embedded, I think.
And I think as well, is what Megan's highlighted, obviously, with the change in approach towards literacy, MAPI for us has empowered all staff. So we are quite vocal, actually, that different departments are on different points of their journeys with disciplinary literacy. So, for example, in our school, history, RE, our English departments were quite secure with disciplinary literacy, whereas other departments wouldn't have evaluated themselves as being as secure. And we've been able, both within school and then also through Bedrock, to offer staff CPD to support not only with MAPI, but also with disciplinary literacy and vocabulary acquisition.
I think what's really interesting is that it's really funny that you have other platforms where there might be videos and there might be other things going on in the platform, and then they aren't the people's answer questions and all that sort of stuff, and it's kind of there's more going on almost. What MAPI does is it strips everything back and it enables you to kind of select the core pieces of information. But then what's almost been an unanticipated benefit in your setting is it sounds like the CPD and the development around, well, what's the data saying, what, around which departments are implementing and which aren't, who's flying with it, who's not, and what are the staff needs that are kind of that we need to meet. To, you can't just give an EdTech solution to a teacher and then walk off. It's about what you've done there, the staged approach, carefully, methodically understanding where the pinch points are, where the pain points are for teachers. And that's what it sounds like. I mean, when I looked at your data, It's so strong in terms of implementation. This is a case study in itself of how you implement something like this. I tried it and we weren't successful when I tried it, because I needed to do what you did. I needed to take that step where it was one subject. We really, you know, you have one strong member of staff who's really keen on it and who's able to see the bigger picture, and then you roll out. I just think that it's, you know, it's commendable. It truly is. And in terms of the future, what are you looking to in the next 6 months? What are your thoughts in the next 6 months?
I feel to sort of consolidate any inconsistencies across the department. So even now, we've got more secure departments, I would say.
Yes.
Obviously, we've got some change within staff within school. So it's about, initially we had training from Mapper for the Mapper leads, and then I disseminated that training as we expanded Mapper out across the school. But I think moving forwards in readiness for next year, it's about ensuring that all members of staff receive training regarding Mapper as a class teacher. So rather than just the Mapper leads or the heads of departments, about all members of staff, so that they can look at what it looks like from a student's point of view. And I think also the activities on Mapper, so looking at the image or looking at synonyms or antonyms, actually that can also empower staff within the classroom when they're explicitly teaching vocabulary as well in subject areas where that might not be perhaps an area that they feel particularly confident with.
Yeah, and I certainly think that there's room for us to work more closely with our feeder primary schools as well. And, yes. And you know, I think the strength of the working relationships that we have is something that we're proud of already, but I think there's more to be done in terms of transition and securing a better transition between Key Stage 2 and Key Stage 3 when it comes to Mapper. And I think that we can use that as our basis and our platform for solidifying that.
I think once again, we'll probably provide a really good basis for that conversation for you to be able to go to your primaries and begin the dialogue. A really useful piece of work, I think. And if I was to kind of just change direction slightly and ask you about vocabulary and grammar, and, you know, just to check in a little bit with how that's been going, how is that implemented, and what are teachers doing with that at the moment?
So with Bedrock Core, all of our year seven lessons, so within, we have a weekly Bedrock lesson, they are delivered by our school librarian who oversees the programme. So that's ensured consistency. Within the Bedrock lesson, so it's an hour's lesson, we have 30 minutes in which students work independently on Bedrock, and then they read for pleasure for 30 minutes afterwards. But during that time, they focus on the vocabulary that they've acquired. We have a Bedrock Brainiacs board, so in which we celebrate student success and engagement with Bedrock. We are in constant communication with parents, so parents are really eager to see how the students are achieving with Bedrock. But I think, as Megan said about the primary schools, we've actually introduced Bedrock. We're part of a MAC. We introduced Bedrock Core across our primary schools, so we've delivered training to our primary schools. So now... Wow. That's supported with transition, because actually all of our Bedrock, all of our feeder schools use Bedrock. So students are coming in up to us, being familiar with Bedrock. So that's helped to support our implementation.
That's really interesting. And I think one thing that I always would like to work with schools on increasingly is helping them to use the knowledge trends that the reports in Core and the grammar insights to then not just keep it inside English, but then, and Mappers, it's quite straightforward to give that to other subjects for obvious reasons, because that's literally what it is. Whereas with Core, I'd really like to start thinking about how, particularly with vocabulary, where you can use those insights. And actually, you know, there was a word yesterday, I think it was something like expose or something like that I'd seen in the knowledge trends. And I was thinking, well, wouldn't that be brilliant to be able to use that across chemistry, geography, history, that, you know, these words are there to be used across the piece. Yes, tier two vocabulary is like nailing fog to a wall, but actually that's what Bedrock gives you. It gives you a foothold into being able to leverage that information across the curriculum. And I just wondered whether you thought that would be something that could be of interest to you as well.
We as a school have a word of the week, and it's celebrated and students are rewarded for their usage of that word of the week. And we take our words of the week from the Bedrock so that we have a programme there which is shared. So we do try and use that, but I think that could be perhaps built on even further.
Yeah. And what I loved as well just before when I was asking you about the next 6 months is that your first response was almost, well, we need to make sure it's embedded and that staff continually have the CPD they need in order to keep going, because ultimately it's the staff, it lives and dies with the staff, doesn't it? It lives and dies with colleagues and the passion and understanding what this all means and represents. And as you said before, you know, you're in an area of where there is a large work gap, where there's high deprivation, and the work you're doing for that community is just incredible. And to be able to play just a small part in that as Bedrock is really inspirational. So thank you both so much for that. And obviously you can continue to reach out to us, you know, with anything, you know, any projects, any areas of interest, and we'll support you. But I know for a fact, having spoken to a number of schools in recent weeks, that they will really, really enjoy listening to what you've just said, because it will give them hope and confidence that they can do what you've done. They can take this blueprint and they can do what you've done as well. And I think that's really hopeful for schools.
We've been very supported by Bedrock from the very beginning. When I'm thinking now about that, when we initially piloted it, we were in constant communication with Bedrock, even with regards to uploading our classes, how we assign words. And no question was sort of too small or was dismissed. You've been really, really supported. And that's enabled us then to work with our colleagues and ensure that they feel confident using the programme as well. Whereas now our needs have perhaps changed. So initially it was sort of the actual function of Mapper and how to upload our words, whereas now Bedrock are helping us to analyse the data, identify trends, look at, our example, the boys that are engaging, females that are engaging, and to look at how that fits with our school improvement priorities. So we feel that now, even now, we're still benefiting from the support of Bedrock as we move forwards.
I've only been at the company for a few months, and that's something that's been expressed to me in no uncertain terms, is that it's about a partnership with schools, and some schools will need what you just described around help with uploads, help with A, B and C, and that's where they're at, and that's absolutely fine. Some schools will need something a little bit different, a little bit, you know, data insights. Some schools will need both, and that's one of the things I love about my job, is that I get to do that and support schools with that. So and thank you for making time on a Friday afternoon when it can only be extremely busy for you before a weekend, so thank you both for coming on. I know that people will appreciate it. It's been amazing.
Thank you very much for having us.
All right, thank you.
Take care.